Prologue. Been here, done this. The same Cessna 206 on its 10-minute white-knuckled hop from the airport at Owl's Head to Matinicus, a pancake of an island some 20-plus miles out to sea. 3 years ago, plus or minus. Biggest difference this time out is that Doug, the chatty, easygoing pilot I got to know before the bottom dropped out of my world, has been replaced by a kid with a reaction time of a juiced-up meth freak. In a strange return to yesteryear, I'm once again the sole passenger on board, squeezing all 6'2" of me in among the same kind of freight I remember from last time. Assorted cases of liquor, boxes of grocery orders and boat parts, an enormous quantity of beer, a few FedEx packages, a case of oil filters, and yet more liquor. This time, though, the small cabin is filled with the redolent smells of garlic and tomato sauce, courtesy of a half dozen large pies from the Athens Mediterranean Pizza in Thomaston, or so the boxes inform me. My overriding fear that last trip out was simply the possibility we'd nosedive into the wind-whipped waters of Penobscot Bay, or slam into the unforgiving rock face at the end of the narrow, tree-lined runway, gaping like an open wound at the north end of the island. Simple stuff. Nothing to the anxiety I'm feeling now about what awaits me in a place I've long been reviled, which I deserve to be, of course, only not for the reasons anyone out here thinks. Some sane part of me, a part I've completely lost touch with over the past few weeks, whispers it would be much healthier to leave the past alone, something I repeatedly tried and failed to do. Instead, I buckle in, accepting the inevitability of whatever's about to unfold. Time to end this nightmare once and for all. Chapter 1. 3 weeks before. Dr. Hodges? I swing my gaze to the woman in the doorway, middle-aged and officious-looking, no hint of a smile. One of them, then. Police, with a capital P, not the pathetically underpaid campus cops who initially showed up in response to my wildly panicked call. Another detective, probably, though decidedly better dressed in dark gray slacks and matching blazer than the guy who's been peppering me with questions for the last 20 minutes. Pinned to her lapel is something my mother called a brooch, this particular example of circlet of gold strands braided into a kind of wreath. Tasteful. Understated. "Come on in," I call over. "You're a little late to the party, but what the hell?" I turn back to the detective before me, one Daniel Fuentes, tall, slender, clearly of Latin stock. How one such as he ended up in Orono, Maine is anyone's guess. "No," I tell him as he stands looking down, his long aquiline nose at me, a muscle spasm in his left cheek, setting the dark mole under his eye twitching. "I've no idea where it came from or why the hell some nut would leave it here." Leave is not quite the correct word, of course. Staged is more like it. The sight of the thing as I came around my desk an hour or so ago, drop kicking my gut to my throat. "So you got back from lunch and there it was, just lying on your computer. That's what you're telling me?" His tone oozes disbelief. "That's what I'm telling you," I say. "Again." The sight of the thing forever seared in memory. Never mind it was oh so carefully removed, bagged, and carried off some 15 minutes ago, along with my aging laptop and its trove of research notes. Thank Christ I had the presence of mind to snag the thumb drive from the USB port before the Mounties arrived. "You usually leave the door unlocked when you head out to grab a sandwich, take a leak, whatever?" he asks. "Never," I say. "I always lock up." "You're sure?" "I'm sure, detective." I sigh, having done this dance already with the campus dicks. "I teach an early class on Fridays," I say. "I came to the office afterwards, say 9:15, worked on the computer till about noon, when I went to grab lunch." "So the door wasn't locked when you returned," he says. "That's the thing, it was." "How do you explain that?" he asks. "I can't," I say, my eyes on the lady in gray, who's begun picking her way quietly along the opposite wall, her methodical gaze taking inventory of the small, cramped space I call my office. Not slender like Fuentes, but short and squat as a fireplug. which is very un-PC of me, I know. You're the cop, I tell Fuentes. You get to figure that one out. I'm just a lowly academic. Excuse me, I say pointedly as my latest visitor stops to draw a book from a row of scholarly tomes shelved on the far wall. Far being a relative term, of course. You'd think the director of the University of Maine's School of Forest Resources would rate better digs than the closet-sized nutting hall. I'll have to push for something bigger if I'm going to have all this company. Can I help you? She ignores me as she pages listlessly through the book, one it's doubtful she can fathom, let alone have any interest in. Even I barely understand the jargon. A lowly academic who got back from lunch to find a severed finger lying on his computer keyboard, Fuentes pushes, ignoring the interruption. Dog with a bone, this one. She who's perusing my shelves cocks a brow at that. Could it be no one's filled her in as yet? Not a cop, then. Some newbie from administration sent to check out the latest bizarro trouble in Nutting 203, maybe. Definitely not a student. You don't find many middle-aged women angling for a degree in tree biology. A finger excised from the hand 2, maybe 3 days ago, Fuentes says, based on its condition. He studies me. If you say so, I tell him. The adrenaline starts its tap dance at my temples again as the image forces itself on me. Flesh a bluish purple, the upper joint with its chipped, pink-painted fingernail poised as if in thought. Fall classes started a few weeks ago, right? Fuentes says. September 8, if I remember. Still, I've never known frat hazings to involve human body parts. Not in Maine, anyway, I say. Well, there's a reason the finger was taken, he says. Pretty sloppy job, by the way, and it's a reason it was left on your keyboard. We could get lucky with a print, but it's a long shot. You won't have access to your laptop for the time being, you realize. Is he nuts? He thinks I want that thing back? We shake. He makes the usual noises about staying in touch as he glances around a final time, his eyes traveling over the lady in gray without much interest. Then he slips out. Headed for coffee, maybe, or a stiff drink. Something I could use right about now, never mind it's only 1:30 last night's hangover. Would it be rude, I wonder, as this chick moves toward me, hand extended, if I oh so casually pulled out the flask of scotch secreted in my lower desk drawer? Perhaps I could offer her a snap. Dr. Liz Horvath, she says as we manage a perfunctory shake. It's good to finally meet you, even if I did have to drive up from Portland to track you down. The name is vaguely familiar, as is the voice, but it's too much work to try and figure it out. Plus, I've had more than enough crappy attitude for one morning. Gil Hodges, I say, Hodge to just about everyone, and I'm afraid you've wasted a trip. I can't help you. I know nothing about any of this, I say, flicking my hand toward the spot where my computer used to live, weighing the chances of snagging another by the end of the day. No reason you should recognize me, of course, she says, dropping into the chair opposite my desk. But I should think the name would ring a bell. You're the one who sent her to me, after all. I cock my head, hoping to jog the brain cells, but the synapses refuse to fire. I'm Tiffany Burgess's therapist, she says, no doubt to save me all this mental effort. The one you've been writing checks for the last year in hopes of helping that troubled young woman. Ah, glancing down, I riffle a few pages at the edge of my desk, trying to look efficient and focused as my mind tilts toward overload. The mere mention of this kid enough to trigger the anxiety and guilt that's plagued me since I returned from Matinicus 3 years ago, knowing I was as much to blame for everything that happened out there as she was. I guess you'd say we've got history. Boy, do we. And how's that going? I ask the doc. It's not, actually. Tiffany missed her last 3 appointments. I've tried phoning you, left messages, finally decided to just drive up here. Bit of a haul from Portland, I say, and again a wasted trip. Haven't seen her in ages. Which is true, technically speaking. If you say so. She gives it a beat. I felt it was time we met, to be honest with you. I have some information you might find useful, especially since the last time she did show up, I got the definite impression she was heading this way. That right? Yes, and at this point in her therapy, anger is her primary emotion, one that tends to manifest itself quite indiscriminately. I try for board as I stir the papers, ignoring the sudden uptick in my pulse. Yeah, well, she was pretty pissed off last time I saw her, too. Heading off to comb all of North America for her mother, as I remember. A spectacular disappointment, by the way, she says. I never once thought she'd find her, I tell her. Oh, she found her, all right. Our girl is nothing if not resourceful. I take another look. There's something plodding, almost matronly, about Ms. Dr. Horvath, what with that solid build, the limp brown hair and a blunt shoulder cut. It would be easy to underestimate her but for the intense gray eyes, those orbs scrutinizing me just now with a wary intelligence. You don't say, I tell her. And? Ask her yourself when you see her, she says, standing. Trust me, you will. Oh, and just so you know, she's calling herself Amelia at the moment. She likes to change it up, try on different personas. It throws people off. Something else she enjoys doing. She was calling herself Liz for a while. I found that mildly disturbing, as I'm sure you can imagine. Only mildly? Could this chick isn't as smart as I thought. I fight to keep my gaze neutral as she pulls a card from her bag, sets it on the corner of the desk. I'll be in town through tomorrow morning, she says. I have some questions. No doubt you do as well. Let me know what works for you.